Clapping, welcome our online family as well. Welcome them on in, those who come and they worship with us. Give them a rousing round. Thank you guys. As you see, God is progressing us. We have to, if you're waiting a little bit, I'll say pardon our progress. The media team is trying some new things, adding some new software, and they're doing a great job at it. They're catching things. We're growing in every aspect. There's a big gigantic TV back there. If you're wondering why that TV is back there, because we have so many youth now, we're going to split the youth into three, and we're going to be looking for some youth teachers, because we're going to actually turn the fellowship hall into a youth sanctuary, so that we'll have a multi-purpose room. Yes, we can use it for fellowship, but we can use it every week to invest in our youth. That's important. So God is moving and he's doing some things. So grateful for all the people and all the teams, from the youth teams to the nursery, to all the ministries. I don't want to start calling them, but there's so many moving parts that make this ministry what it is and keep us connected, that right down to sending out the encounter monthlies and things like that. We're so grateful for you. You guys ready for a new sermon series? If you'll pull it up, you can clap for that. Yeah, amen. God is moving. Our new sermon series is, what does it say? God is. They leave some dots behind that, because we're in a new series called God Is. We started. This is our third sermon series of the year. Can you believe that? We've already made it through our third sermon series, to our third sermon series of the year. And God is leading us. I had some things that I had planned, but God had some other things he had planned. And thank you for praying for me, because I'm not set in stone. If the Holy Spirit moves my heart, I might have my mind moved in one direction. But when God says shift, I shift. Everybody say shift. You've got to be pliable enough to let God move you. And I see what he's doing. We started, and God is trying to get something to his people in this day and age where we have confusion on every round. He wants people to have no equivocation of who he is and who his word is. So we started the year with authentic church. We began to talk about the authentic church, what the real church of Jesus Christ looks like. And then we went in to another series called I Am, knowing the I Ams of Jesus, that Jesus is God, and knowing who he is today. And now we are in another sermon series. I wanted to teach something else, but God said, this is where you're going. And it just simply has two words: God is. Everybody say God is. God is. I am that I am. God is whatever you need him to be. Can we stand for the reading of the word today? Our main text will come from Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 26. If you don't have a Bible online, they'll have one on the screens for you. We want to ask our people that are online to like and share and to put fires and praises in the chat room. Make the chat room just as live as the sanctuary is. It's not quite the same if you're not in here to feel the fire, but it can be a good medium. We're thankful to God. Exodus chapter 15 started at verse 22 through 26. What did it say? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will pour none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God who heals you. I want to speak to you from one word today. Everybody say Rapha. You may be seated. Presence of God. Speak, God, your servants listen, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. That's our first installment of God Is. God Is Rapha. That is the word God used when they were at Marah. To let you know where we are in this text, as we look at this text, the children of Israel have just been released from Egypt. They have just been set free. And God needs to establish some things with them. Why does he need to establish some things with them? Because for 400 plus years, they have been in bondage in Egypt. And not only has Egypt put oppression on them, but they have allowed themselves to become more Egyptian than they have Hebrew. And so what God is literally going to do, he's letting them know that I want to introduce myself. Please allow me to reintroduce myself. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Joseph, whose bones you carry. And I want to introduce myself to you. You've seen all these false gods in Egypt for 400 years. You've taken on the way they dress, the way they act. You've taken on their idols. But I've come to tell you, because I promised to your forefathers to bring you out, I am going to bring you to me that you may know me. I've come to tell you that even today we have a God that is not aloof, but we have a God that seeks for you to know him. He left his word through the Bible through 1,500 years and multiple different authors in three different continents and also multiple languages. He left his word all together. He went to extreme painstaking goals and means to be able to let you know who he is. And not only that, but he sent his son to die for you so that you could have access to you. I've come to let you know that God is a God who is seeking after you. The Bible says no man seeks God, no, not one. But the good news is God is seeking you. Hallelujah. God is seeking to know you. And when he goes into Egypt, he not only wants to liberate the people of Egypt, the people of Israel, but he also wants to let them know who he is. And he wants to let them know that he is the only God. And many people might not know this, but can anybody tell me how many plagues there were in Egypt? Can anybody? We'll go to Bible study. How many plagues did they have in Egypt? Can anybody tell me? Close. They had 10. They had 10 plagues in Egypt, and the reason they had 10 plagues in Egypt was a specific purpose. You might not know this because you're not an Egyptologist, but guys, can you put on the screen all the gods of Egypt? If you put up that on the screen, you will notice something, that each plague is turned to one of the Egyptian gods. That every time he sent a plague, he was giving a declaration that your God is not God, that I am God. Plague number one, the Nile turned into blood. He was attacking the Egyptian god Hapi, also called Apis. He was the bull god, the god of the Nile. And so was Isis, the god of the Nile, considered that they could use their, people thought that life came from the Nile. They worshiped the Nile. And God, he decided to attack it and say, the one thing you're looking for life from, the one thing you're looking for a source from, I'm going to turn to blood and make it unusable, letting you know that you don't depend on the Nile. You are worshiping what was created, and I am the creator. God number two, God sends he sends frogs without the camp. And the reason he does that is because the Egyptians have a god named Heket. And Heket is the goddess of birth and also has the head of a frog. The Bible is exciting if you study it. God is attacking those different types of God. He sends gnats, because gnats and lice come from the ground. And Set is the god of the desert in the dirt, saying that I have authority over this god that you say is here. The Egyptians were so terrified of lice that most of them were bald. They cut their hair, and the women cut all of their hair off and wore wigs. And God is saying, I control even the things that you think are important, even flies. Flies represent Ra, the sun god, or the god Uatchik, possibly represented as a fly. And when he decided to kill the life of the livestock, he was directly pointing at Hathor, the goddess with the cow head, and Apis, the bull god, the symbol of fertility. And when he brought boils on the Egyptians, it was for Sekhmet, the goddess with the power over disease, and Sunu, the pestilence, and some of the things that the Egyptians were able to imitate. But the farther they got down, they could not imitate what God was doing. And he brought hail from the sky, because the Egyptians had a god called Nut, the sky goddess, and Osiris, the god of crops and fertility. And he decided to bring hail and destroy all the crops. And he then sent locusts, because Nut is the sky goddess. And then he looked at one of their major gods, Ra, Amun-Ra. And for this, they would say that the Pharaoh is Ra. The Pharaoh is the son of the sun. And so God decided, I'll show you who's the son of the sun. And he blocked out the light, and darkness covered Egypt. He was specifically going against Ra, the sun god. And then after that, you have another god called Men, the god of reproduction. And God sent death to the firstborn of Israel, of Egypt. He is not just doing this by happenstance, because if you search Exodus, the Bible says after a while, Pharaoh's heart was so hard that God hardened it more. He was trying to send a signal to the Egyptians, who would all be familiar with these gods, that the people that you have been serving are real, not real, and they are false gods. Everything that the Egyptians have taught you to put your trust in, now I'm letting you know that it is worthless, because I have authority over every god that Egypt ever created. I am the God. I am Yahweh. There is no God before me. God is establishing his dominance. God is establishing his power. He's letting the children of Israel know, you think you're subject to Israel. You think you're subject to Egypt, but Egypt is subject to your God. And as he leaves and he takes the children of Israel through the waters, and Pharaoh's army is drowned, and they come to the place of our text, the Bible said that they came to a place that they call Marah. And it hasn't been only 3 days that God has brought this people out, and they're new to this God. They've seen the plagues that he's brought. They've seen his power. They've seen him be able to open up the sea. They've seen him be able to bring fire from heaven. They've seen all the wondrous miracles and the mightiness that comes down. But then he brings them, and the Bible says, if you see in the text, it said he brought them to a place to test them. He brought them to a place where he knew that the water would be bitter. You can take it down now. We'll send it out online. Thank you for that. He sent them to the place where he knew the water would be bitter, because they needed water for life. And the people began their first of many complaints against Moses. Moses is now a pastor of up to 2 million people that came through the Red Sea. Can you imagine that? But he was taught to rule and reign. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, for he knows how to be a ruler. But of 2 million people who have a slave mentality, that are brought out of slavery, but slavery is not yet brought out of them, and they're stuck as slaves. And what God is letting you know is that you are more than slaves. I have put something in you. I've come to you to let you know that many of us in the world right now, God has taken us out of the world, but we allow the world to keep us a slave. He brings us out of the world, but we're still struggling with things that we don't have to struggle with, simply because we don't realize who our God is. That we can give those things to our powerful God. He's letting them know who they are. And he told Moses, take a tree or a branch, and I want you to heal the waters. This is why he's telling them this, that the waters are not at ease. They are diseased or diseased. There is disease in the water. The water is undrinkable. You cannot drink it, but I'm going to give you a tree, Moses. And when you put that tree in the water will change from bitter to sweet. He's giving them a lesson, letting them know that the very thing that you search for in life, which is water, you need water to survive. You can only last a limited amount of time without water. And there was disease in the water. And God gives another miracle. He lets them know that just like I brought the plagues on Egypt, I can bring healing to you if you will keep my word and my statutes. Because he says, for I am the God who heals you. What they would have heard would be Yahweh Rapha. I am the God who heals. I am the God who heals you. Just like I healed the water. Just like I gave you an object lesson. And I took down every one of those gods. And that wasn't the first time God had done that. Because if you go back to it was the first time at that time. But if you go back, you'll notice that there is a god named Dagon. And when they took the Ark of the Covenant later on, and God's going to do that again. And they put the Ark of the Covenant in the sanctuary with Dagon. They came back and Dagon was down head first. On his face, prostrate, because he couldn't stand with the ark in the presence of God. Well, so the people said, I know what I'll do. I'll put it back up, and they tried to put it back up. And when they came back this time, it was down in his head, and his hands were folded and set over neatly to let them know that no God will stand before the God of the Bible. I've come to tell you this morning, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you've been. You serve the powerful God who was and is to come. You are not a victim, but you are a victor through Christ Jesus. Your situation does not have to hold you captive. You serve the God who heals. And many times we see in the Bible that sin came from what produced sickness. We see Paul tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is what? Death. That death is produced because of sin, and because we live in sinful bodies, that one day we're going to have to get a regenerated body, because sickness does sometimes come to us. But many of us in today's world don't receive God's healing because we've allowed people in our lovely brothers and sisters in the cessationist camp to tell us that healing is no longer available. There's a reason we sung that song. And I thank God that the praise team hopped on today. It just worked on it just this week. They did the best they could with it, and they did really well. Why? Because I wanted you to hear something. He healed the leper then, and he's still healing now. He is the same God. He was Rapha then, and he's still Rapha now. If you don't have enough money to make your ends meet, he was Jireh then, and he's still Jireh now. He is the same God. And many of us need different types of healing in our life. We need physical healing and emotional healing and psychological healing from the scars of our past. And we act out on the things that have hurt us and done us wrong. And we live destructive lives simply because we forget that we are children of the Most High God. So I have a few points that I want to leave with you. And I want you to write these down. We might put them out. The first one simply says this. Everybody say, God has healed. That helps me, because I know if he has healed, he can't heal again. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read it. If they pull it up, you can read with me. It says this. When he had come down to the mountain, the great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me, who, Jesus, clean. Then Jesus put out his hands and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. We see that Jesus is willing to heal if we are willing to receive. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. He didn't stop there. He said that when evening had come, they brought him to many who were demon possessed. He doesn't just heal the body, but he heals the spirit as well. And he cast out spirits with a word and healed all, not some, not just those who believed a certain theology. The Bible says he healed how many? He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying this. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Now, when you get to a good theologian, he will pontificate and he will say, well, when we get to Isaiah and you are saying by his stripes we are healed, he is simply talking only about being saved from sin. And he said, being saved from sin, God doesn't do miracles today. He doesn't do those things. They stop with the apostolic fathers. There are millions of Christians who teach that. But we see right here that this is related in a relatable scripture that said Jesus did it because he's giving something that we need to hear. He heals our infirmities. He heals our sicknesses. I see what you were doing, Lord. The other week I did something I normally don't do. I stopped and the Lord sent me to the back, and I always am at the back. But he just started telling me, lay hands on people and start praying for them. And I laid hands on different people, knowing what they were going through. And some of them have already received some healing. If they want to tell it, they can, but that's their business. God still heals today. Some still might be waiting on their healing. Some might have a partial healing. God healed in different ways. Sometimes he would spit on the ground and put clay on the eye and say, now you still have to walk. Your vision's not always there, but there's something for you to do. I don't care how he does it. I'm just glad that he does do it. We always have to remember that God does heal. That was a blessing to hear multiple people saying that God did something in their life because you were obedient to God and did something that you normally don't do. God is not into our status quo and our modus of operation. He is not into us having uniform church. Yes, we have schedules. Yes, we have planning centers. But those planning centers don't override the plans of God. When God says take an audible, we do it. Why? Because God still heals. Hallelujah. We said God has healed. And he went. God is healed. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. I like it that he made a difference between epileptics and the demon-possessed, because many people, when they have some demonic oppression, people will start to say, oh, they just having seizures. No, there's a distinct difference. They may look similar, but there is a difference, and God healed both of them. And he says, and he healed them, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan. And Matthew 19, 1 through 2 says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finally finished these sayings that he departed to Galilee and came to a region of Judea, and great multitudes followed him there, and he healed them. Seems like God's interested in healing, doesn't it? We see that God has healed. We see in Matthew from the leper where he says, I am willing, and he took himself on his eye infirmities. We see that God can heal. Matthew 8, 16 through 17. I already read it, but I want to read it again. Everybody said, God has healed. God can heal. I need you to get that revelation in your spirit today. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. There are a lot of people out here dealing with demon possession. We don't like to talk about it because it freaks people out, right? But if there were demons then, there are demons. Some people, some of their addictions they're struggling with is demonic oppression. Demonic torment. Sometimes counselors are good, and it's good to get psychological counseling, but sometimes you need to get on the altar. We don't want to get quiet and scared. Here's the deal. It does no good to heal your body and your mind is still in bondage. You're just healthy and bound. And God wants somebody to know today, he knew you were coming today to tell you, I have healed and I can heal. And this is the thing. I know you've been struggling with that thing for a long time, and I know you think it won't let you loose. But what did it say? And he cast out spirits with a word and healed all, not just the ones who wanted to be, not just the ones who just had a theological premise. He healed all who were sick. He healed all who were addicted to pornography. He healed all who were addicted to drugs. He healed all who had anger issues. He healed all who were molested as children and still haven't been able to heal. And it affects your marriage and it affects your life. He healed all. He healed all those who suffer parental abuse and societal abuse. He healed them all. You know why you need to hear that? Because all means all. That means you're included in that all. If you need healing, you are included in it all. He did not give any specifics for it. He didn't say you had to be this tall or this short or have this amount of money or this education or have your life together or be squeaky clean. You could be as dirty as the pigs in the pig pen. But if you want Jesus to heal you, he will do it right now. Why did he do it? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. How did he do that? There are 32 root diseases, 39 root diseases known to man, which means that any disease in the world is given back to 39 diseases. You can go back to all 39 roots. And when the Romans whipped people, they ripped them 40 minus 1 because 1 was considered death. They whipped him 39 times. He took a lash for every one. And that's why Isaiah said, and by his stripes we are healed. But I don't feel healed. But you are. But I'm doing things in the dark that can't be seen. But you're still healed. You're just not walking in the reality of who you are. I might not act like a bear. My mom would always say something to me, and I tell my kids that when you leave this house, you have my last name. If you embarrass me, I will end your last name. Remember who you are. But here's the thing. Even if they didn't listen to me, even if they went out and did whatever they wanted to, even if they didn't act like they were buried, they still are. Sometimes our behavior doesn't match our profession. But that doesn't mean he hadn't saved you. Sometimes he's calling you, saying, I want to heal you, and you've been trying to self-medicate. Lord Jesus. Some people are trying to self-medicate on drugs and alcohol, trying to numb the pain of their past and forget that it has not, that it's happened. And while they're doing it, they are at an extreme disadvantage because you can't medicate yourself out of it, because once the numbing goes away, it is coming back and God wants to heal you. Some people medicate themselves with people, Terhan. You know what? They keep, every time you see them, they're kind of sanguine. They keep people all around them. They're the life of the party, and many times they're riddled with depression because they are trying to use the presence of people to keep their mind off the fact that although they have people all around them, they're still lonely and depressed. And God said, why are you bearing this burden? I want to heal you. Oh, Jesus. And bore our sicknesses. You know what that means? Those things that belong to you, he took them. Why are you taking them back? He died for that sickness. He died for that depression. He died for that disease. Now, I know I'm cognizant of the fact that we do live in a decaying body because we are living in a dying world, and there are some natural diseases that are going to come by age. God can heal them too if he decides in his providence to do. But many of the scars that are in our life are not because of age. They're because of the choices we made. That's why he said, if you do what I told you to do, many of these sicknesses which came upon the Egyptians would not come upon you In other words, they suffered at my hand because sin was in their life and they followed the world and not me. Many of the believers of Christ, the reason you're following the sickness you have is because you're trying to be like the world. And when you try to be like the world, you get what the world gets. But healing is the children's bread. I'm calling on somebody who's struggling today to abandon the world and deny yourself and come to Christ. Come to the healing flow of the cross. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all of their guilty stains. God has already received your burdens. God has already received your sicknesses and bore your infirmities. Why won't you plunge yourself in the blood of Jesus and allow him to wash you clean? You can't do anything about what happened to you as a child. Many times we see people and we think they're promiscuous. It's not that they're promiscuous. It's because they've been sexually abused. And they're acting out their abuse. And they will continue to do so until they are healed. God wants to heal you today. Not only has God healed? Everybody say, God has healed. Not only can God heal, everybody say, God can heal. But to my next to last point, somebody said, God will heal today. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, I'm going to let them pull that up. I want us to read that together. What does it say? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, some theologians would say those passages were put in there later, 16 through 18, maybe in the question. So I brought in some other stuff, but you can see through the book of the Acts of the Apostles that those things happened, didn't they? The anointing was so heavy on Peter that the Bible says his shadow was healing people. That people would reach those prayer cloths that people talk about. It was because they were cutting off pieces of their garments and hoping that what the oil that was on their life would touch them. And they were sending pieces of the cloth of their garments to people, and people were being healed from touching them. That's how the power of God worked. But for those people who want to discount Mark 16, 15 through 18, I figured they would be out there. So what I did was I put up James 5, 13 through 15. There's no dispute about what that says. What did it say? Is anyone among you suffering? So he's not just talking to the apostolic fathers and the apostles. He's talking to the church, isn't he? Let him what? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? What? Let him sing song. What's the next part say? Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now stop. For our cessationist friends, I know we don't have any here. It didn't say call for the original 12. It said call for the elder. That anointing wasn't just in the apostles. There were certain things that the apostles did that other people won't do. Because that was their assignment. But he said if anyone among you is sick, let them call for the what? Elders of the church. Who is that? The minister. That doesn't mean age. You can be old and not be an elder. An elder is somebody who's been in the church. Somebody who's strong in the faith. Elder means servant, a minister. Today we would call that a preacher or a ministry worker. And he says, let them call for the elders of the church. And what does it say? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What's the result? What does it say? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and as he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So not only will it heal your body, it'll heal your soul. Come on, help me preach, Brother Denny. That's what I'm talking about. Some of us in here are fairly healthy, but your soul is broken. Your soul is broken. I know this is unusual and I don't usually do this. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but he puts you on my mind and your soul is broken. And he wants to heal it if you'll let him. She's not the only one. There are many of us walking around here looking like we're okay, and we come to church and praise the Lord, and our soul and our heart is broken. Dealing with grief, dealing with loss, dealing with disappointment, saying he doesn't love me. He does it for everybody else, but he doesn't do it for me. He healed this person, but he won't heal it for me. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And this is what I love about him. He's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you too. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to know who you serve. And he is saying, I want to heal you, and I don't want to just heal your body. I want to heal your soul. That sickness and sadness and depression that you can't get away with, you can't get away from, those addictions that you can't get away from, those people and habits that you cannot get away from, I am the God that healeth thee. I want you to know who I am. So when you go through, you realize who you serve. That's why he wants us to know God is. And he says, Eye, Asher, Eye, I will be what I will be. Because all of us will go through different things in our life at different times. But the Lord opened up with this one thing, because there are a lot of broken people who look like they got it all together. And God said, stop trying to look like you got it all together. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Be honest. God, I don't have it all together. Truth is, I'm smiling. In the church folk, but I'm falling apart and I'm about to lose my mind. Save me. Help me, Jesus. I can't do it on my own, and I'm tired of trying to act like I got it together. I'm tired of trying to act like I'm okay. I'm tired of trying to act like I'm holy because other people look up to me and tell me how godly I am. God, I look godly, but I don't feel godly. Will you heal me? Oh, Jesus. My last point. I want you to get these in your spirit. Point number one, everybody say, God has healed. Number two is, God can heal. Number three is, God will heal today. And number four, what do you have that needs healing? I'll say a lot right there. What do you have that you haven't put on the altar? What do you have that you haven't given to God? And you just figured that time would make it get better, and it seems like time is just making it get worse. Psalms 107, 15. They can put it on the screen. You can read it if you can, but God is ministering to several hearts in the building. I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. God is moving right now. I'm about to stop talking in a minute and open up the altar, but I need to read this to you. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Somebody said, that means me. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. God, I did some of this. I put myself in this shape. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they withdrew and drew near the gates to the gates of death. Somebody's right there at the gates of death right now. You feel like dying. You ought to be tired of trying to hold it together by now. You ought to be tired of lying to yourself, telling yourself you're okay. You ought to be tired of playing pretend when you've got a God that knows anyway. Just as I am. Somebody say, as I am. When I open this altar, I want you to come to it, whether you've been in Christ one day or 1,000 days or 50,000 days. Just as I am. Not the projection of what I want church folks to see. But just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And would thou biddest me come to thee, I, O Lamb of God. I Oh, Jesus. What does it say we should do in verse 19? Read it with me. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God has healed. God has healed. God will heal. What do you have that needs healing? Can you play Just As I Am if you don't mind? If you know. Just as I am, without one plea. The altar is open. But that thy blood was shed. If you're struggling, this altar is for you. Thou biddest me come.